Floyd Mayweather hasn't fought since 2015 against a boxer. It's now 2017, it's 2 years.
So?
He's not fighting this year. He's not in a real boxing match against a real fighter. He's going to easily beat McGregor. He will be lulled into a false sense that he still is what he was. And by the time he fights Pacquiao in a rematch, should Pacquiao beat Horn, which we expect, by the time he fights Pacquiao in a rematch, he'll be rematching against the guy he's already beaten, pretty handily. He's going to forget how tricky that fight was.
Say what you're gonna say! I can't believe what you're alluding to, Max! Let it out! Let it out! What are you trying to say?
This is my hot take. You just calm down. He is going to forget how tricky the fight was for him, and he's gonna wanna fight Pacquiao, having basically not had a boxing match in 3 years. And in that fight, there is a very good chance that Pacquiao will stop Floyd Mayweather.
What?
That's right.
So I have Graham on. Naturally, Graham is on. You could have guessed that.
Graham's got Angelo on today.
He's filling himself after the biggest win in Australian history, possibly since the invention
now
of the
koala.
Now
that Australia is dominating the boxing landscape, it's true. The center of the boxing universe is Brisbane in Australia. It's amazing.
Okay. I think this is Australia's greatest victory in sports history. Because nobody cares about rugby. Nobody cares about cricket. I can't imagine that Australia has ever been, ever mentioned on ESPN, with the exception of the Olympics when Australia's basketball team did well. But in the finals, you guys got blown out. Now, that's because Australia faced a team of American athletes in or around their prime. This weekend, an Australian contender, his name was Jeff Horn. You may have had him in math class last year for a day or two. Fought a guy who is very clearly out of his prime. Now, listen.
Are you saying Pacquiao's not a good fighter anymore?
I'm not even going to touch on that yet. So
he's still world class. Look at the pound for pound rankings.
He's world class because he lives in the Philippines, right?
He's top three.
Top three. So before we get onto the fight, okay, and listen, if you're listening to this, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's coming out Tuesday, Wednesday maybe, you've probably heard everything there is to hear about this fight. And so we're going to try to take some angles that possibly nobody's talking about at this point. And first, though, this audio, courtesy of ESPN, and that was from First Take, where Max, he essentially says, Graham, Pacquiao will stop Floyd Mayweather because Pacquiao is still boxing professionally and Floyd is off fighting MMA fighters. Now, where do we start with this?
Man, I think we have to start with the date. That was before the Horn fight.
Absolutely.
He definitely said, let's see how he performs against Horn. But based on how he's gone against Bradley and Vargas, he expects Pacquiao to blow Horn out or win a close decision, and that would keep him sharper and more prepared to beat Mayweather. So I don't know where you want to start with that, but I think he might possibly I'd like to hear if he still has that same opinion today.
Well, naturally that would be the first place to start. Max, do you still agree with that? And let's settle things a bit, okay? Timothy Bradley, Pacquiao, that was his last great performance. That was the best performance he had had against Bradley. The first two fights, while winning, one for real and the other one for fake, he didn't look great. He looked great in the third Bradley fight, although hurt at one point. The Vargas fight is a joke that people don't really remember that fight. You know why? Probably because they didn't watch it. Because they had to order it on Top Rank pay-per-view, and nobody did that, so they were watching illegal streams. That includes people who write in the media watching illegal streams of that fight.
Do you mean us?
I mean you, probably.
I did watch it via a stream, yeah.
Yeah, because you were the one claiming to me, oh, there was like, the streaming website said there's 500 million people watching the stream right now. And I was like, dude, settle down. No data center's handling that. You know, that isn't Netflix's servers.
I don't remember saying 500 million people, but I do remember making a comment about how many they claimed were watching the stream.
It's like, yeah, dude, that's some guy in Ukraine with two servers that he built himself. There's no way it's handling that many people,
running it
right?
through a Commodore 64.
Yeah, so settle down with that. Now, second of all, Pacquiao did not look good in the Vargas fight. Vargas was tagging him with the overhand right consistently.
I remember we said so often, if he just did a little bit more groundwork to build throw that right afterwards, he could have finished Pacquiao in that fight.
Well, I don't want to go that far, okay? And the
well,
only reason why
is time.
Yeah, I know I might have said that, but I'm not saying that now out of respect for Manny. Like, okay,
he hasn't died.
No. But if you've listened to this podcast, you know this, and if you haven't, you don't know this. But essentially, we're not that nice to Manny Pacquiao. He's often the butt of our jokes. We put him down every chance we get, but I do want to say that I do like Manny Pacquiao and I still have a ton of respect for him. And while a lot of people weren't that excited, I was getting messages on the Slack all day long about, you know, I can't believe, like, you know, Manny Pacquiao's fighting today and I really don't care. And I was like, I don't get it. 'Cause I was like excited for the fight. Like, I'm going to see Manny Pacquiao fight on ESPN. What could be better?
Yeah, I was really excited for that. I had people messaging me.
Dude, you're Australian. Come on.
Well, I mean, I just want to say on the podcast, I actually went on the record saying Jeff Horn would win, but then all day leading up to the fight in the chat, I was talking about Pacquiao ending it early with his first solid KO in years. So,
so you hedged your bets?
Really.
you hedged your bets there.
Yeah, and I got them both wrong.
Yeah, so Jeff Horn didn't knock out Manny Pacquiao, and Manny Pacquiao did not win. So, actually, you're picking Manny by knockout. But I was telling everyone, Manny will not stop Jeff Horn. He has not stopped someone in a long time. This dude doesn't even stop at red lights. It's just not happening for him. And so, let's get back to ESPN, okay? Just real quick, what are they doing? Why does ESPN think that it is such a great idea to create these narratives, these hot takes, to sell stories that people do not want to hear? It doesn't make any sense. They have to have a take. I mean, Stephen A. Smith, after the fight, went on this long tirade about robbery, collusion, corruption, and this is why MMA is better because this doesn't happen in MMA. Newsflash, this happens in MMA. The biggest MMA shills were tweeting, ha ha ha, Stephen A., you think this doesn't happen in the MMA? Really? Dana White is probably going to sue us, but I would not be shocked if Dana White's colluding or, you know, has some corrupt things going on with decisions and stuff, because unlike boxing, the UFC really struggles at creating new stars. You know, and every time they want to, you know, put the rocket on somebody, they end up getting beat in their next fight or tapping out or looking horrible. And so it just doesn't work.
I think ESPN really, They missed it on a couple points. So the first one is that narrative. Like, why were they pushing Stephen A. Smith to drive that? Like, were you talking about a really great monumental moment in boxing history? And I don't mean the victory for Jeff Horn. I mean, like, Manny Pacquiao fight, something that possibly still could have been on ESPN. That's a fantastic step forward. You've got that top rank deal coming up with ESPN. There's a really good platform they could have laid about everything else coming up. Who else do they have coming up? Crawford and Lomachenko, right? They're both going to be fighting on ESPN on separate cards. So there's a really cool narrative they could have gone with there. The other could have been about, I don't want to say this in a way that's going to be insulting, but I mean, Pacquiao's got this amazing legacy. Where is the other side of things where they could have talked about, you know, the way fighters develop or what this can do to the world stage or, you know, the life cycle a fighter goes through. There's so many different sort of dramatic takes they could have taken other than Stephen A. Smith complaining that boxing is dead when the numbers today look huge. They're talking about the most streams, the most views for a fight on ESPN in a decade, you know, all this crazy stuff. And you're just like, why did Stephen A. Smith take the wrong thing? It was a spectacle. It was a huge event. It's good for boxing. It doesn't matter. You know what? The controversial result is probably the best thing for boxing because now people want to tune in and see what happens. And then the other thing they missed was the actual quality of the production. My understanding is that rather than doing anything on their own, they just allowed the local Australian network, I think it was on Foxtel or something, to just do what they would normally do, and they're really used to just doing sort of small club things, maybe the odd pay-per-view, but goddamn, that camera moving every couple seconds, changing angles, it never sat straight. I heard a lot of people online in the Discord chat say, could someone just give the cameraman a tripod, please? Why is this moving so much? It's like someone's watching it out of a handy cam from the 90s.
The angle was really bad, too, on the hard camera. It was elevated and pretty far away, so it made them look really small. The opening fight, I think they were middleweights? Yeah, middleweights. The Shane Mosley fight. Shane Mosley Jr. They looked tiny. And I said, if these guys look tiny, Pacquiao's going to look like a baby in there. This is a terrible camera angle.
Yeah.
Obviously, once we saw Pacquiao come out looking like a fool in the first round, we all forgot about the camera angle because there were more important and pressing matters to discuss or to think about at that point. But let's jump onto that. So Manny Pacquiao comes out, and I thought he looked like an idiot. Like, he was smiling, shocked at, like, it was almost like, oh, this is cute. Jeff Horn just hit me in the face, not realizing, oh, but my title's at stake, and I have one of the most illustrious careers that we've seen in boxing in the past 20 years. And, you know, not to overdo it, but, you know, maybe at one of the greatest resumes ever, given the accomplishments he's had in jumping up weight classes and stuff, and he's out there just looking like a fool. And it's one of those things where, you know, maybe he doesn't have it anymore, and it's possible that he doesn't, but there is something to be said about defending your legacy, fighting for a legacy. You worked so hard to get yourself etched in the history books, and now you're just going to go out there and maybe erase that memory from everyone's mind.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple things here. The first one is that it's not the first fight Pacquiao's come out smiling. So I'm not sure if that's worth sort of dinging him for, but I do know that when the fight was announced and he flew to Australia for the first press conference, you and I were laughing nonstop about how ridiculous it was. He didn't even know where he was. He didn't know who his opponent was.
Well, neither did
he
Bradley.
He said he hadn't watched any of the fights. It was right. What was that?
Neither did Bradley. The guy thought he was in Argentina.
That's right.
It's like, dude, yeah, he did. You're he like said we were on another continent.
But, you know, it was, it kind of was reminiscent of that in the first round. He walked out almost like he was at a strip mall doing a merchandise signing or something, you know? He thought he was in the Philippines signing his latest karaoke CD or something like that.
Oh, my God.
And then he gets punched in the face and he realizes he's actually in a fight. But it took him the whole of the first round to warm up. He looked okay after that, and he worked him out. I mean, I had him, I think I only gave Jeff Horn maybe four rounds, maybe three.
I agree. And this is an Australian guy talking, okay? Now I want to say that I'm not like the nicest guy to Manny Pacquiao, but I thought he comfortably won this fight, just to put it out there. And I would say
Bradley, there's more chance that Bradley actually won the first fight than on my scorecards than of Horn winning
the fight
on the weekend.
But what is the explanation then? Because when Bradley won in the first fight, there was hardly any media that had Bradley winning the fight as well. And while the majority of the media this time around does see it Pacquiao, there's far more Horn people who think Jeff Horn won than there was Bradley the first time around. I mean, the entire Box Nation crew had Jeff Horn winning the fight, and I've seen numerous posts where people are coming out saying, I thought that Jeff Horn won. Now, we'll take out Paulie Malignaggi. We'll take his card out for sure, okay?
Yes.
We know Paulie's got a big, long history of just not liking Manny Pacquiao, and if you don't know where it stems from, I'll tell you when. Is in 2009, 2010, when Pacquiao was failing to negotiate with Floyd to fight Floyd. One of the rumored opponents that they were throwing out the names was Paulie Malignaggi as Pacquiao's alternative. And ultimately, Manny would not go with Paulie. He would go with someone else. And there's, probably some saltiness there. And as fireworks are going off, we're filming this, that's to come at a later date, but more on that at some other date. But, it's the 4th of July and people, it's 10 a.m. here and people are already lighting off fireworks. Back to the thing. Why do you think so many people this time around, and when I say so many, it's, you know, like, what do you think these 10% of people are really siding with Jeff Horn?
I mean, I don't know their motivation, but I think the whole concept of Horn winning, there's a much bigger underdog story there. Everyone loves that underdog story. You know, it's almost like Rocky One, you know, where if he lost, it almost would have been identical. He would have won by losing, sort of thing. But yeah, people like an underdog story. I think the second is a Horn victory actually opens up the landscape more here. Now all of a sudden everyone could talk about all the potential options out there. No one necessarily thinks Horn can win many of them, but it means that, like I said earlier, Pacquiao is relevant again. Never really been irrelevant, to be honest, because he still draws fans. Like, he pulled 55,000 people to a stadium in Brisbane to watch boxing in a country where boxing's not that big.
Yeah, but what else were these people going to do? Like, what is there to do in Australia? Like, hug their koalas or something?
Yeah, maybe that's the only activity.
I mean, look at it. You're here.
Yeah, for work. Australia's got...
Dude, you worked for the government in Australia. I don't want to go into your history, but I do know your history. And
no,
you worked for, like, the... Dude, you worked for the utility company. You worked for Australian Water.
I did do some work for... It's close. It's not Australian Water. It's a localized utility. But yeah, what's the relevance of that?
Because the point is, drawing 50,000 people to Australia, or not Australia, I think there's a little more than that, but drawing 50,000 people to a stadium in Australia, I don't think that's as big of a deal as you think it is.
For boxing, I think it is.
Well, again, Manny Pacquiao's name still carries a lot of weight.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And it's such a shame that ESPN's first foray into this top rank deal with Manny Pacquiao headlining, they had to taint it with this you know, very disputed decision. Now, I know your stance that you think it's good for boxing on the whole and ESPN, but I would have preferred a Pacquiao win with no controversy, and then they start showing the Terrence Crawford highlights. Then we have the talk of Manny Pacquiao gets the winner of Floyd McGregor, which is obviously Floyd, the rematch. And you have a big event again. And, you know, that's obviously not going to happen.
So you disagree with Max now? You think they're not going to have the rematch?
No, absolutely not. And this was a question that I'm going to touch on that in a little bit, okay? But here's one thing I want to bring up. So Skip Bayless, I know. I heard your groans, okay? But Skip Bayless has for a long, long time been a Manny Pacquiao fanboy. Absolutely a fanboy, unabashed, just... the things that he said, I mean, he's consistently said Manny Pacquiao would have beat Floyd Mayweather if his shoulder wasn't injured, that Floyd Mayweather is scared. And I think he still even had Pacquiao winning the fight when he fought Mayweather. Okay?
That's amazing.
Now, he had Jeff Horn winning the fight.
Wow. I think one of the issues here, and this probably relates back to your question before, why do people support Horn in this case, where there wasn't much talk about supporting Bradley in the first fight with Pacquiao, is that this ended up, like, it's not a classic fight, but it was definitely entertaining. More so than Bradley Pacquiao won. Well, he kept coming forward, people were getting cut open, there were punches landed. So I don't necessarily think it's the greatest fight, but I understand why people thought it was entertaining.
Well,
and so there's that whole concept of the underdog came in, he brought the fight, he showed heart, so people are really getting on board with that.
Well, I want to bring up another point that's slightly related.
You're going to say race, aren't you?
No. Okay, so Manny Pacquiao's had a ton of headbutts in his fights, right? But, you know, we attribute it to Southpaw Orthodox, and Tim Bradley is going to Tim Bradley. But I'm here to say that Pacquiao leads with his head. And it's not like he's got a small head. But Pacquiao is responsible for much of the headbutts that we see in his fights. When he fights a guy that knows what he's doing, like Floyd Mayweather, there were no headbutts. Just something I want to throw out there. Now, let's get back to the rematch with Floyd, okay? Here's my question to that. And it's not that will he fight Floyd. The answer is no. Because I want to know if we'll ever see Manny fight with Freddie Roach in his corner again.
Yeah, I mean, I was telling you before we started recording, I read a quote this morning from Freddie Roach that said, he's told Pacquiao he wants him to retire. This should be it. But Pacquiao wants a rematch. So he said, okay, well, let's do one rematch and then that's it. Let's forget about the Mayweather stuff. Let's forget about everything else. But this should be the last one. So I think if he does have a rematch with Horn, I think Roach will be in his corner.
Right. But I think Freddie Roach is very realistic. He's a very straight and blunt guy. If you've ever seen videos of Freddie Roach talking, he doesn't really hold back. And I think he's realistically going to tell Manny, you might be able to beat Jeff Horn, because I did think you beat Jeff Horn, but we cannot have... I mean, there's a reason why he hasn't fought Terrence Crawford. Because Freddie Roach knows he's going to get killed.
Yeah, and he won't. He won't fight Crawford.
Fans are deluded into thinking that this is the same. Like it blows my mind that the 2009 version of Manny Pacquiao that hasn't existed since 2009 is still the one that people think is the current day Manny Pacquiao. That guy's gone. He's not even 50% of that. I mean, Pacquiao had no defense, and Pacquiao never had defense to begin with, but his speed, his foot speed, and it allowed him to be a level of elusiveness that once that's gone, he's a sitting duck. And we saw Jeff Horn landing straight right hands. We saw Jesse Vargas landing straight right hands. Like, these are not very fast fighters. I mean, the opening round, it was so funny seeing Jeff Horn throw out his jab, how slow it was. And then you see Manny throw, and he still got speed. No doubt about that. And the difference was insane. And then Jeff Horn hits him, and it's like, wait a second. He's this slow, and Manny Pacquiao can't get out of the way? This guy's done. And I don't think he should rematch Floyd. I think it'd be a great event that we don't need to see. But we also got Hopkins versus Roy Jones Jr. In a rematch that we also didn't need to see. We get rematches that we don't need to see all the time. And if there's one thing that Bob Arum likes to do, it's a rematch. Half of Manny Pacquiao's career is rematches. 3 against Eric Morales, 4 against Marquez, 3 against Bradley. So what are we going to get? 3 against Horn, 2? 2 against Mayweather? It's not going to happen. I think Floyd is going to fight McGregor, and that'll be it for him.
Well, isn't Pacquiao also off contract now? I know Arum would jump on a one-match extension sort of thing without a hesitation, but wasn't that his last contracted fight?
I cannot remember. You might be right about that. But I can't remember that. Sorry, not that I can't remember. I don't remember. I think you're right, though. And so, let's say his contract is up. If you're PBC, do you offer him a load of money to basically sell him off, or not sell him off, but like basically, hey, you're going to go down, you want to go down losing the rest of your career?
Yeah, we got a whole bunch of welterweights you can do that with.
Yeah, we got 5 in the top 5.
But I tell you what, who wouldn't want to tune into CBS or Showtime to watch Pacquiao versus Thurman Garcia? I don't know if you'd want to see him versus Porter, to be honest, but Spence. Well, Spence would. Oh, Jesus, I don't know if I want to see that for Pacquiao's sake.
No, I don't want to see him fight. I'd like to see Pacquiao fight Adrian Broner. I know. Or Mikey Garcia. Because these are small guys that play, that are now playing in the bigger weight classes for the smaller guys. And that's what Manny is. So don't get a natural welterweight.
If that power Garcia showed against Slatterkan and follows him up to 147... And everyone's landing rights on Pacquiao, that's devastating. You don't want to see that.
Yeah, it is. But you know, ideally, I'd like to see him fight Terence Crawford. Why not? I mean, yeah. if you're going to throw away your legacy, as it appears he's going to do, I mean, here's another thing that I wrote about.
Wait, before you go into that, Will Crawford, would he stop Pacquiao? Would he, do you think Crawford would make Pacquiao stop on the stool like Pacquiao did to De La Hoya?
No, I think Freddie Roach would stop it. But if I remember correctly, Nacho stopped it.
Would
in
this
the,
be a fight where Roach wasn't in his corner?
I think so. Boo Boy would have to stop it through tears.
It'd be hard to watch.
I really do think that Crawford would absolutely terrorize Manny the same way Manny terrorized some of the guys that he did, the older guys that he did when he came up. I mean, it's what's interesting is that Manny is starting to see or be on the end of some of the things that he was known for. I mean, Jeff Horn came in with a really unorthodox style, weird timing and everything. And
oh, yeah.
Manny and Manny didn't know what to do.
It was a bit unfortunate to see Manny lose his time in the way he has, because sometimes, a lot of the times, Horn would really square up, and he didn't have a tight guard, so he'd completely open himself up to throw a left or a right, and Pacquiao just couldn't throw his power shots to land at the right timing. They'd come in a bit late, a bit early, not hit the right spot. You know, as we saw in round 9, any other version of Pacquiao prior to this year, it wouldn't have gone to round 9, and then when it did, he would have finished it.
No, I think the past 4 years, Manny Pacquiao, it still goes 12 rounds. I just think it's very wide and boring. It was a shame seeing Pacquiao not be able to land the straight left as consistently as he typically does. That's usually money for him, but it wasn't much. Let's start to move off from this, because we still got a ton to talk about when it comes to Floyd Mayweather. Got to talk about the McGregor fight every episode.
Sure. Okay, that makes perfect sense.
No, I'm just kidding. One last thing, I guess. I really like Joe Tessitore on commentary, and I really hate Teddy Atlas on commentary.
I remember telling you a while ago now that, you know, a lot of the Australian pay-per-views and everything. When I was younger, they had their own Australian commentary panels, so I wasn't as familiar with the US ones when I came over here. But the ESPN Friday nights was the same. It wasn't an Australian panel. It kept the American one. And so there used to be this nostalgia thing with me for Teddy Atlas, because he was a guy with that really strong accent, and he'd be slightly over-exaggerated, and, you know, he'd carry on a bit.
Slightly.
It was, you know, when you don't... Yeah, okay. And then, that doesn't make sense when I say slightly and then over-exaggerated. But you get what I mean. And then, you know, when you first start getting into boxing, he's giving some insights that you just don't think about. And then now you're just like, oh, well, that's actually really rudimentary. And sometimes he doesn't even know what he's talking about, but he's that whole nostalgia factor and the novelty factor of Teddy really wears off pretty quick. So I agree 100% on Tessitore. He's very, very, I like him. He's kind of subtle in the way he controls the panel, or I guess with Atlas, he can't, but I do like his insights. I do like the way he calls commentary.
You know,
I'd like to. Who do you think he would be better with?
I think he'd be excellent with Max. Just those two. You don't need a...
Who would be the guest analyst?
No guest analyst. I think those two would be excellent together. Now, here's the thing that a lot of people may not know about Joe Tessitore, is that Joe Tessitore has this knack for just... And it's called the Tess effect in college football, because he does college football, where he somehow is always getting these epic games where they come down to the final minute, or just, you know, it's just great games. And he's like, it happens every year, multiple times a year, where the best games, Joe Tessitore gets to be on the call, and it might just be him. So he's really good at just doing commentary in general, but I really can't stand Teddy Atlas. And I've put together my all-time nightmare team of commentary. It's Bob Sheridan on play-by-play, and then Teddy Atlas on color, and that's it. Or I guess you could put Tim Bradley there. And I only say that because it's like, Tim, could you speak up? Like, louder, into the microphone, please. You're worse than Austin Trout at this. Do you want to be heard? And, like, he's so timid that, like...
He always opens himself to get ripped apart as well.
Yeah, he's so timid too. Like it's almost like he just doesn't finish his sentences and is like, yeah, I think Manny Pacquiao might be he's getting hit right here, I think. It's like, well, you know, you just like tossed up a softball.
He must be really, really nervous. He must be really nervous because the way he called out Argentina instead of Australia, and
you don't think that was blatant?
The Pacquiao Vargas fight where Stephen A. Smith ripped him apart for like criticizing the way Vargas was fighting Pacquiao, and then asked why he did.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's just really gun shy, and so he makes.
Why did you make any adjustments? Yeah, it was that far.
So good.
Okay, that's enough for this fight. What we're gonna see next? Well, what we're gonna see next is probably the rematch. Should we see it?
Yeah.
It's a tough thing because I think the only thing that has this rematch take place is not for the title, it's not for the money, it's for pride. But you remember, you've seen Pulp Fiction, right?
Yeah.
Well, Marcellus Wallace has a line in that movie about pride and how it messes with you. And it only hurts for a little while. And if you just go back and look up that line, I don't want to say the whole thing. It's pretty explicit. But essentially, I think that's what's going on here, is that pride is going to have Pacquiao keep on fighting and it's going to be at his detriment.
And, I think so.
And in the judges, so should Manny Pacquiao, well, I mean, it's a double-edged sword here. So what I was going to say is that the judges are going to be responsible if Manny Pacquiao goes on to keep fighting Jeff Horn and he loses and he looks horrible and it tarnishes the legacy. But at the same time, if he would have got the unanimous decision win, which he deserved, I think, he might have gone off and fought Crawford. And that's a yeah. worse fate than a rematch with Jeff Horn, if you ask me.
And there's something unique about Pacquiao and the fans he attracts as well. They seem a lot more committed and devoted to him. Whereas you see a lot of other fighters in the past who have continued on, their fan base has reduced. Like Roy Jones Jr. is just a perfect example where the amount of people that would go to see him kept getting smaller and smaller. But Pacquiao, like you said, everyone still thinks 2009 Pacquiao is going to come out. And he's still selling out. I don't know if it was a sellout, so that was a bad statement, but he's still getting a lot of people to his fights and a lot of interest. So I feel like there could be a real misleading factor there for him as well, where he will still be popular beyond where he should, and it will make that lesson of maybe we should retire a bit harder.
Ultimately, I think he should retire. Now, let's talk about the other controversial fight over the weekend, and that was the Robert Easter Jr. versus Dennis Shafikov fight. Now, I don't think anybody disputes the result of this one. I think a lot of people feel that Easter Jr. did enough to win the fight. Now, the problem was there's no way in hell, absolutely no way, that there was a 120-108 card is not even possible, if you ask me.
That was ridiculous.
And for the record, and so I actually wanted to talk about this, okay? So I made a prediction last week that, and if you listen to this podcast, you know that I don't make predictions very often. Unless it's like, you know, I'm pestered about it, or it's a fight I'm just absolutely 100% sure on. I don't make predictions. And I have a reason for that. So last week I predicted that Shafikov would win a majority decision. So then I watched the fight and my score at the end was I had Shafikov winning by a round or two, which I thought was odd because a lot of people disagreed with that. And I just wondered to myself after the fight, like, okay, I know 120-108 wasn't the right scorecard, but a lot of people seem to agree with maybe like 8-4, 7-5 for Easter Jr. as being acceptable. So was the way I watched the fight, was that tainted by my prediction? Was I looking for something and therefore missing what was actually happening because I was just kind of looking for where Shafikov winning this thing?
Probably. And also, weren't you on the Discord chat that night as well?
No, I don't go on the chats during the main fights.
Okay.
I turn it
off.
So
I was gonna say that was it was very pro Shafikov chat that night. Everyone on there was Gleb and Eric and a couple of other guys were all very big fans of those Eastern European fighters.
Yeah, so I definitely turn that away. And the thing that annoys me too is because of the everyone's on a different delay.
Yeah.
It's just unacceptable that there was a 120-108 card that night. It was just, I don't know what those judges were thinking. How many rounds did you give Shafikov?
I gave him 5.
Okay, so that sounds about right. And if you want to know, Eugene Grant and Jamie Garayua, those are the judges. And then, you know, you should also look up those judges for the... oh, this is interesting. Yeah, you should also look up the judges for the Pacquiao fight. I looked up one of those guys. He's a local New York judge. I messaged Lou DiBello and said, please make sure this guy does not work on the July 29th card. I'd hate to see the Mikey Garcia, Adrian Broner card screwed up because we have this judge again. And this guy who, these judges are Midwest judges, I think. Is Ohio in the Midwest or is it in the East Coast? I don't know. But they work over there. And I think this is more of the outrage that there was a 120-108 card in a fight that was clearly pretty even than to see, well, I don't know, which is worse?
Wait, are you asking if Easter, who won the fight, getting a card saying he won it more convincingly than he did is a bigger mistake than Jeff Horn getting the victory over Pacquiao?
Well, I'm asking you, which one is worse?
I would have to say that the person who still got the right outcome, although more skewed in that direction, is not worse than the person that got the wrong outcome.
So we're basically asking, is probably laziness better than someone who doesn't know how to score a fight?
I think the issue is that the judges in the Easter card probably were more influenced by the smaller but very pro-Easter crowd, to the degree where any time he landed a jab, everyone was cheering much louder. And so I think it was a lot more one-sided, whereas the crowd for the Pacquiao-Horn fight didn't seem very pro one fighter or the other. It seemed like more of an even split, and so the influence shouldn't have played as big of a role. So I think it's more justifiable to think that sitting at one angle, hearing a crowd only cheer for one fighter can lead to a shutout card for the winner who should have won. I think that's more reasonable in that setting than a neutral judge that's flown from America to Australia to watch an Australian fight a Filipino in a big open-air arena where the crowd won't have the same impact to influence you, and you can see all the different awkward angles both fighters were making. I think that's a bit more ridiculous.
But don't you think that the Easter fight was a little easier to judge because... The Horn fight, the Pacquiao and Horn fight, had a lot of headbutts, it had a lot of wrestling, it had a lot of clinches. I thought that was a more difficult fight to score for sure. I think both guys, and there were a lot more weird changes in the momentum of the fight.
So what are you comparing? The outcome of the Horn fight versus the score on the actual cards of the Easter fight? Or are we comparing the score on both cards plus the outcome?
The scores... The scores and how they reflected the action.
Yeah, no, the Horn fight is more ridiculous.
Oh, I want to float out this thing, my theory that I had.
Go.
So I was trying to justify to myself, or, you know, I like to step in someone else's shoes and say, okay, well, how could somebody see that have this point of view? And so I put myself in the judge's point of view and said, okay, how on earth could I get to Horn winning this fight? And here's what I came up with. There's a combination of a few things. But one, 2009 Manny Pacquiao. People expecting that guy. And when they saw the Manny Pacquiao that wasn't doing those things, they dinged him for that. So that, combine that with Jeff Horn being way better or doing way better than expected, which was to get knocked out in two rounds like Ricky Hatton. He didn't do that. He was actually competitive. Those two things combined with the kind of wrestling and the appearance that Jeff Horn was bullying him, and he was because he's a lot bigger than Manny, those three things led the judges to not look at this objectively as boxer A versus boxer B, but to my expectation of how Manny Pacquiao should fight based off of my memory of him versus my knowledge of what a basically domestic good fighter is supposed to look like. And I think that's why a lot of people felt that Manny lost the fight. Because I don't get the... I logically and objectively stripping everything away cannot get to a Jeff Horn win.
Yeah. I think that has to be it. Well, what else could it be? I mean, I don't believe all the conspiracy theories online about Aaron purposely forcing the cards or, you know, the whole, like, Jeff Horn had a speech prepared thing. Clearly he was told to prepare because he was going to win. I don't believe any of those conspiracies. I think, yeah, if anything, it just has to be everyone, yeah, the judges' perception versus reality. So they were more judging the gap of performance rather than the actual in-ring performance.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I wanted to point it out is, you know, this podcast is like 40 minutes long already. Not once have we brought up corruption as being the result of the, or being the driving force of the result. Yeah. There's no point in going there. I don't think it was corruption.
I think that's just people looking for an easy answer.
Yeah, well, that I think that's partly people having a point of view already and then just trying to retrofit evidence into it. And that's not what's happening. Just like, how many times do you need to be reminded that judging, the system of judging is not very reliable in boxing? How many times? It happens every week almost.
Guideline. It's a very open guideline that is based on the interpretation of the judge. We always talk about it. It's one of the things that's a detriment and a beauty to the sport.
Yeah, so this weekend, two unfavorable cards. Not even the worst that we've seen this year, okay? We've seen a scorecard this year where a judge filled in, he got the names backwards, okay? Well, that was his excuse. But he got the names backward.
There was also the talk of how they did that with Mayweather and Pacquiao anyway. I remember they got the corners mixed up.
So...
So one judge had Floyd in the blue corner and the other had Manny in the blue corner. Yeah, it happens all the time.
Right. So let's move on to a few other things, okay? Maurice?
Wait. Just before we do go on, since we went back and referenced the fight, we said we wouldn't reference again. I just want to say, while you're talking about predictions, at the end of last year, I came out and made three predictions for Australian boxing. And one was that Daniel Super Hooper would make his comeback on the world stage after having a stint in jail and getting his life back together and win a world championship. And he did on the undercard of Horn and Pacquiao.
He won a world championship.
Yep. I think he won two belts. He won like a IBF and a WBO or something like that.
Wait. No. He didn't.
What belts did he win then?
There's no way. All the title fights are in the calendar. You're talking about... the international titles.
Oh, is it just international?
Yeah, so he's on his way for sure. And for a guy who was in jail and got his life back together, that's a victory story for sure. Not quite.
Did you get? Oh yeah, you're right. He got the WBO and IBF international light heavyweight.
This is insane. According to BoxRec, there were four upsets on the card. Manny Pacquiao being upset by Jeff Horn. And if you don't know, so on BoxRec, the person on the left is who they think is going to win based off of their algorithm. Okay? So they thought Manny Pacquiao would be Jeff Horn. Not the case. Umar Salamov was supposed to be Damian Hooper. Hooper, as you said, won. Shane Mosley Jr. somehow was favored over David Toussaint. And Toussaint whooped on him. It was a good fight, though. And then Jonel Dapidren lost to Brent Dames, which is a great name.
Yeah, because I'm just looking at the card now. Brent Dames was 5-3. Yeah. Wow.
Do you think it's funny that Michael Conlan gets as much praise as he does? And
are we going to talk about the World Series of Boxing or whatever it is now?
Yeah, the dude has 3 losses in the World Series of Boxing. Like, all the top fighters who've participated in that and then gone on to the pros and have had success, none of them have lost in the World Series of Boxing.
How did the World Series of Boxing get around the record counting on a professional record? Because even the contender couldn't do that.
The way they do it is because it's still sort of amateur rules. It's just longer. They're not the same gloves that they use.
So it counts to their amateur record, not their pro.
Correct.
Okay.
I know he's got a ton of hype because of, you know, he flipped off the cameras and stuff, and everybody loves, you know, those kind of, I hate to even just say it, but, like, you know, those, like, anti-establishment sort of guys, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin was a huge draw in the 90s and 2000s. And why he was is because, you know, he did what everybody wanted to do. He flipped off his boss and gave him the Stone Cold Stunner and stuff like that. So I get it, but, you know, I'm just not sold on him. I don't think he's very good. And that's going to, you know, obviously not be good. He Fair lost enough. To a Kazakh guy in the World Series of Boxing. He lost to, I don't even know what this would be. But British people, you can hang your heads high and smile because Andrew Selby beat Michael Conlan. And Andrew Selby, on the other hand, I think is pretty good. And that's a guy who was almost undefeated in the World Series of Boxing, lost his final fight. He was stopped. So we'll breeze through these last remaining topics, but basically Mauricio Herrera is going to fight Jesus Soto Carras should be a very sad and uninteresting fight to watch.
Yeah. There was some talk of that in the Discord, and there were more laughs than serious responses.
What would they laugh about?
They were just laughing that it's even happening.
Right. Well, there's not much to say about that fight anyway. Then there's Ray Vargas, the new super bantamweight champion. He's going to fight Ronnie Rios on the August 26th Miguel Cotto versus Yoshihiro Kamigai fight, which nobody will watch, by the way. I just want to say that everyone's going to be watching the Mayweather-McGregor fight. Even those of you who say, I'm not watching it, you're going to watch it.
Yeah, what do you do with that card?
The Miguel, like, Cotto card?
Yeah, why aren't they just moving it? Make it the night before or the night after.
I don't know why they're not moving it. I would put it on earlier.
Oh yeah, keep it on the same day, but make it like a lead-in.
Yeah, so like start the card at 4 so that it ends by 6 when the telecast starts. You know, you can bleed into the telecast. Nobody's going to really watch the undercard fights unless they're serious about putting both Badu Jack and Gervonta Davis in world title fights. Then absolutely, you don't want to really eat into that.
Yeah.
But, that's the story right now. That's it for this week. There's not much to talk about. This is 4th of July. It's a holiday weekend. We will be back next week to discuss. You know, we're starting to, you know, after this week, which is a slow week, understandably, we're going to roll, okay? The 15th, we have the Eubank Jr. pay-per-view, which may or may not be relevant. Then we have the Omar Figueroa.
Wait, I didn't even realize he had another fight. Who's Eubank Jr. fighting?
Arthur Abraham.
I did know about that fight. Jeez.
Yep, okay, and then Lee Selby will be on the undercard in a title fight. And then later that day, Omar Figueroa versus Robert Guerrero. And a great triple header that's also going to feature Sean Monaghan versus Marcus Brown, and Arthur Spielka versus Adam Konacki. And then we will be at this fight. Miguel Burchell versus Takashi Miura. They will fight on HBO. We are very excited for that one. Jezreel Corrales will fight Robinson Castellanos, fresh off of his win over all-time great Euriorcus Gamboa. And then Joe Smith Jr., when we last saw him, this is true, he was knocking Bernard Hopkins out of a ring. Or should I say pushing? he will fight Sullivan Barrera, who came closer to beating Andre Ward than Sergey Kovalev.
That's true.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Relax. These people get so uptight. There's a couple of PBC on FS1 cards in between that. Then the following weekend is Broner versus Garcia. And have you decided if you're going to that one?
I probably will.
And then the next day, Victor Ortiz versus Saul Corral.
I know you're not good.
You're going to go to that one? Oh, wait, we might go. It's in Bakersfield if you come back. We can drive out to Bakersfield. No. You don't want to see Carlos Balderas fight?
Well, yeah, maybe just for him.
Yeah, fly back.
No, I'm not going to fly back Saturday night, Sunday morning to then, or whatever day it is, to drive out there to Bakersfield and watch Victor Ortiz.
So if you're not from around here, there's like nothing in Bakersfield. It's like just nothing but dirt and houses. And they're not even nice houses. I know Bakersfield people are not going to be happy about that. But August 5th, Vasily Lomachenko versus Miguel Mariaga. August 19th, Terence Crawford versus Julius Ndongo. The 26th is the Mayweather-McGregor fight and the aforementioned Cotto Kamigai fight. And then, obviously, once we get into September, the 9th, the Monster makes his American debut. 16th, you know what's happening on the 16th. You've already got that whole day planned out. I know it. So
I got a few things planned. It's going to be good.
Yeah, it's called going to Vegas.
Yep.
I haven't decided if I'm going to go.
Why wouldn't you go?
Because it's usually better when I don't go. So all the pay-per-views that I've gone to, when I go to Vegas for fights, they tend not to be the most interesting when they're on pay-per-view. When you go and I don't go, it's like purposely the universe makes the fights the best so that you can come back and gloat.
They're great fights. And lots of really cool things happen as well. I meet a lot of different fighters and personalities after the fight.
So it may be better for the both of us and for the good of boxing fans that I don't go. I think I'm going to go to Mayweather
McGregor.
What
one did you come to? I think you came to, Canelo and Khan. And then afterwards it was just like nothing happened in the post-fight presser. Took like an hour and a half too long to start. Yeah. So we got out of there at like 1:00 and then nothing was happening on the strip. Nothing was happening in any of the casinos. So we just got like fried chicken and went to bed.
No, that you're mixing up dates. That we went to fried chicken.
Oh, that's a different code?
Yeah, that was a different one. But, now that we're on the subject. So most of you listening to this, I have to change the subject a little bit. So I'm really excited because yesterday in the mail, I got this package from the U.S. government. And I was just like, oh, no, taxes or something like that. But it wasn't. It was my passport. Now, I never got a passport before because I've never left the country.
Maybe your geography will improve now.
Well, maybe. But see, the problem is, later this year, I'm going to go to China, but everything is written in Chinese. So nothing's going to improve. I can't read that. But I'm going to go to Chinese for 10 days.
Probably you're going to go to Chinese for 10 days?
Yeah. I'm going to probably see Great Wall of China. And if you've ever been there, you should give me some recommendations or suggestions. Like, specifically, like, for someone who doesn't really like Chinese food, tips for survival.
But let's be fair, your understanding of Chinese food is Panda Express.
What other kind is there?
The traditional Chinese food.
See, I can't go to those restaurants because everything's written in Chinese.
maybe some listener will be able to write you a conversion card. You know what the different phrases mean.
Man, no, I'm really it's going to be an interesting time, and I'll talk more about the trip. And I'll certainly, I know a lot of people, they like to laugh about the geography and stuff, but like really, I mean, Graham, I'm like anxious about it, not in the good way.
Yeah. There's been a lot of text messages and phone calls. But aren't you going somewhere else as well? Didn't you say you're going to Japan?
Yeah, going there too. I'm gonna look up Naoya Inoue and try to fight him.
Oh yeah,
I'm like twice his size.
You're gonna do a Shannon Briggs, knock him off the paddleboard, throw his dinner in his face.
Well, this has been a good podcast, especially on this. I just looked at a picture. That's funny. But thank you for listening to the podcast. There wasn't too much to talk about. We're sorry. Although we didn't want to bore you with repeating the same old stuff of what you probably heard on. I think the one thing that we didn't talk about that we probably should have was German on Cajas and his win. I think that guy's an absolute star in the making. And if he can just keep winning and getting better, you know, at this point, he deserves it too. His career earnings are just over $100,000 at this point. And this guy's got a world title. And he's made multiple defenses now. And he's still barely cracked 100,000 in career earnings. So it was good to see him on this stage.
Damn, that's career earnings, not payday.
Yeah. Career earnings.
Wow.
The guy deserves it. I mean, he's a star. They need to get him on HBO.
Probably losing money on the sanctioning fees.
Well, you know, when he won the world title, do you know how much he got paid?
How much?
The IBF minimum of $3,750. $3,000, $750. Some of you people listening to this make that more in a month. Okay, Ancajas barely got that for the fight in which he won the world title.
And he would have had a 6 to 8 week camp leading up to that. Paying trainers. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So, yeah. And Manny Pacquiao is his promoter.
Oh, my God.
So, thank you for listening. We will be back next week.
Timothy, can you hear me, sir?
What's going on, Steve?
Explain to me. Listen,
how you doing, Steve?
I appreciate it. I'm annoyed by this decision, Timothy, because I'm looking at Manny Pacquiao. I understand you got to give Jeff Horn credit, but I think everybody that's given him so much credit is because he came in with minimal to no expectations, and he definitely exceeded that. I didn't find him to be that efficient, and I certainly had him losing this fight, which you conferred with. I don't understand why folks seem okay with this decision, Timothy.
Well, you know what? Starting out, the reason why they're okay with this decision is because Manny Pacquiao tonight did show his age at 38 years of age. He showed his age tonight. Horn was out. He was out, I think it was eighth or ninth round.
Ninth round.
Pacquiao had him hurt. But then the next round after that, ninth round. But in the round after that, you saw Pacquiao let off the gas pedal. You saw Horn, you know, come on. You know, the next two rounds, might have stole the next two rounds in this fight. You know, he put up a great, great, great fight. I don't think he won the fight, honestly. I don't think he won the fight. But I can tell you that he did enough in there to make it look, you know, like he won the fight. Manny Pacquiao was bleeding, you know, blood was dripping down his eyes. I mean, it looked like a Rocky show, but you know what?
Horn got the victory tonight. Mr. Five-time world champion. Here's my problem with what you're saying. You know boxing better than me without question. You've seen this guy throwing a punch, leading with his head, consistently knocking Manny upside the head with his own head, which is the only reason Manny Pacquiao was bleeding to begin with. I didn't hear you bring that up at all during the fight. The fact that he was leading and would throw a punch, that he would hold him, he would headbutt him, he would hit him behind the head. You brought up none of that. Why?
I said that Manny Pacquiao, that Jeff Horn was actually roughing him up. I didn't say anything about the head. We were talking about the headbutt clashes, you know, as a team here. Teddy was bringing it up, that they were, you know, having head clashes in there, but you know, for me, I felt that, you know, Manny, look, honestly, I can tell you this. Manny got caught with some shots in there, some right hands. I'm not saying that Jeff Horn won this fight, but I'm just saying he did get caught with some shots. He did get backed up at times. Manny Pacquiao caught him with the cleaner, effective punches. Don't take my word on that. But, you know, I think that Jeff Horn honestly lost this fight. I can tell you that much. He lost this fight.